assisted Brother Copley with the paper for many years, and then he opened the meeting in south part of Kansas City. And in around 1935, he took ill and died, 35, 36 along that time. I've forgotten just the year. All right, so much for that. I would like to re-emphasize now that we're going to dwell on a period like this is what the Bible calls 1 week or 7 years long. Now, for this age in which we are in, there are no dates given. This is a dateless period. It has been called a parenthesis in between the first and the second coming of Christ. This age was not visualized in the Old Testament. The church was not revealed to the Old Testament prophet. It was a new revelation given to Paul. The Jews tried to kill him repeatedly because he taught that the Gentiles had the same right to come in as the Jews. This was not taught in the Old Testament. So we're not looking at any dates that have to do with this age. Now, Daniel did give a date that led up to the time of Christ and a short time afterwards. But as far as this age is concerned, it is dateless as far as the Bible is concerned. That is, we're not told when the Lord would come. At first, the apostles thought they would see the Lord come. Then they begin to tell us, Peter said, as the Lord has shown me, that I should put off this tabernacle. In other words, he wasn't going to see the Lord's coming. Paul preached it strenuously. Then he said, I am now ready to be offered. In other words, I'm not going to live for the Lord's coming. And most of us, I have quoted to you Carson Richards' little grandson, who said, after he came back from youth camp, the Lord could come today, but I doubt it. And Brother Copley said one time, do you think he will come today? So we're not told when he would come. We're told that he will come. We're not told. The Lord showed some people that Jesus was about to be born. John Baptist's father and mother knew it. Mary and Joseph knew it. Then at the time he was born, God told the shepherds and the wise men and Anna and Simeon. And the shepherds, you remember, they went out and proclaimed it far and wide. But people probably shrugged their shoulders later years and said, well, his shepherd's story, they were excited about it, but the baby probably got killed when Herod killed the babes in Bethlehem, and the story was dismissed. And even John the Baptist, after he announced Christ so boldly, sent messengers saying, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And so God could show me, if he wanted to, that I could live till the Lord comes. Brother Copley stated in his last illness, I believe the reason the Lord won't heal me is that I am not willing to go home by way of the grave. He wanted to be translated as badly as anybody I ever knew. And so this is God can do that, but up to date, I don't know anybody that he has shown. I wish he would show somebody that he was going to live till the Lord comes. That'd give me hope. If you think he shows you, keep it to yourself. Too many people have announced revelations. A man said, the Lord showed me the next spring I'm going to go to India. It was in the 50s. He hasn't been to India yet. And I told you about the two men that came to my office back in about 67 or 68. The Lord had given them a prophecy that he was coming right away, and next March, this was in November, we should all flee to the mountains and take enough food to last about 7 years. I believe it was. I'm not real sure. But you sit down and do a little computing and see what kind of a truck you're going to have to haul enough food for 7 years. And then where are you going to stay for 7 years? To the mountains, mind you. And the mountains of Colorado get desperately cold. We have a young woman in our meeting, or not young, I've known her since she was young, but she's visiting here now. She lives in Wyoming. Her husband called her the other day and said there were 23 inches of snow on level, and the janitor in their church built him a home up on the mountains. And he came down in town the other day, and now he can't get back. He got 4 feet up where he lives. That's up in the mountains. So they must have been just, I told them, I said, now when this doesn't come back, when this doesn't come to pass, come back and let me help you. And one of them said, oh my, if this doesn't come to pass, I don't know what I will do. One of them went and sold his house. I wish I could have bought it. Sold it at a very low figure to get money to put this marvelous message on television. Whether he got it on television or not, I don't know. But you see, that's been these 15 years or so, and what he thought hadn't come to pass. So if you think the Lord shows you something like that, prove it first. And so We have a 7-year period, and the chart that we have up here isn't the chart Sister Bodie has in some of her notes on Revelation, a chart, or Daniel rather, a chart that shows the dates that are given in Daniel. Now let's go back again and look at these dates before we go to the chart. Back in the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel, the first one is given, the 25th verse, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Now that's a date, and it is the first one that is given. And isn't it interesting that some, roughly speaking, 2,500 years ago, a little more, a little less, the Lord pointed out all this dates, and they haven't come to pass yet. And then, in the 8th chapter, in the 14th verse, there is another date given, and it's a very important date. The 13th verse says, then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now it's from this verse that we learn that the days will be shortened, and we can show you later how much. In the 9th chapter, in the 27th verse, which we just read, in the midst of the week, in the midst of this 7-year period, right in the middle, he will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination. This will begin with the placing of his image in the temple. He shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate, or the desolator, as others render it. Then, in the 12th chapter, we just read this, and the 7th verse is the next date that is recorded, and this great personage swore that there would be time, times, and a half a time. And I want to dwell just a moment on the to scatter the power of the holy people. I hadn't dwelled on this, but in Matthew 25:15 we read, when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him that's on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Let them that are in the field, they weren't to go back. Pray that your flight be not in the winter. Woe to them that are with child, to them that give suck. Then it gives the reason, but I want you to notice in this a scattering. Then as you go to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, you'll read about a woman that flees into the wilderness. And in the latter part of that chapter, you'll read that the devil will go to make war with the remnant of her seed that keep the commandments of God. Now here will be another scattering. This will be the scattering of the Jews. And then we read the other two dates that are given here. In verse 11, the daily sacrifice and the 1290 days. And then the 1335 days in verse 12. Now in Revelation 11:3 is the first date that is given in Revelation. And this is the ministry of the two witnesses. Their ministry will begin at the beginning of that 7 years or that week. And in my thinking, God will raise them up to denounce the covenant that will be made. In the third verse, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. Now you see, 1,260 days would put you right in the middle of the week. And that's when the sacrifice and the oblation will cease. Now here is a picture, and I have mentioned it. These will be the last two forces that will oppose him religiously. I feel that they will have a following, but then that's beside the point. And 12:6 says, the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And then in the 13th chapter, in the 5th verse, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, some of these go back and forth. The two witnesses will prophesy in the first part. The beast will reign in the last part. The 2,300 days covers all that God will allow to come about. Now, do you see that there will be a week with all of this in it? And by a week, I mean 7-year period of time. All of these events. And Revelation 4, through Revelation 19, all comes in this period of time. And all of these visions of Daniel have to do more or less with this time. And it takes a little studying to get some of this in our minds. And now I'm going to use this instruction sheet that we have, or should have, which we picked up over there last week. And we'll dwell a little bit on this week. I hope my explanation of the week isn't too weak. Think of a period from here to here, beginning with H, running over to M, as being 7 years. Now these conjectural dates, I've heard Sister Bode say many times, if our dates are correct, if our calculations are correct, these have to do with the translation of the church and with the saints that go to heaven. Daniel doesn't dwell on this especially. We won't cover the chart in absolutely in detail, but we will cover the part that Daniel speaks of. We'll have to touch some in Revelation. If I'm in your way, why, either look through me or tell me to move, or move over one way or the other. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll sit on this side. If you can't see, move over a little bit. Down on this side. This is represents the church age, all of this period, and these seven churches, and I had the artist kind of shade these as the ranks got lesser while they get dimmer. And Philadelphia and Smyrna, of course, represent the highest rank of overcomers, and then on down. But that's another subject and will come up in its time. Now, we read in Daniel 9:27, in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate. That's the heavy line here. That's the middle of the week. We read of the two witnesses. They will begin their witness here at the beginning of the week and will be killed here, be resurrected and taken to heaven. They will prophesy, as you'll remember, 1260 days. And then the 2300 days, well, let's dwell first on this period here to here. I'm going to sit down again just a moment because I want to call your attention. You open your Bibles to the 28th and 29th chapters of the book of Numbers, but first, a verse in the 29th chapter of the book of Exodus first, and I want you to see something and some things about what we call the burnt offering. The daily burnt offering. Now there were many offerings, and we're not giving a lesson on the offerings, but we will touch just on the burnt offering. In the 38th verse of Exodus 29, now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year. Now notice this, day by day, continually. I'll give you time to find it if you haven't found it. The 38th verse of Exodus 29. Now this is that thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening. Now, if you want to turn to Numbers 28 and 29, we will call your attention to a few things here that have to do with the daily sacrifice. A number of statements, and the Lord emphasizes. He wanted this observed, and he didn't want to confuse anything else. And in passing to that, I'll pause and read in Leviticus 6 just a moment about that altar and about that daily burnt offering. The 6th chapter of Leviticus and verses, let's read 9. Command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because the burning, I notice this, upon the altar all night under the morning. Then the fire of the altar shall be burning upon it. And the 11th verse, he shall put off his garments, no, the 12th verse, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. He shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, it shall never go out. Now that was the continual burnt offering or the daily sacrifice. Now to Numbers 28 and 29. And in the 28th chapter and the 24th verse, it is said in this context, after this manner you shall offer daily throughout the 7 days the meat of the sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. It shall be offered beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. And then in 28:10 and 15, we'll notice those. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. The 15th verse, the last part of it, beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. Now I'll let you look at these. In Numbers 29 and verse 16, you will notice in speaking of the offerings, he said, beside the continual burnt offering, his meat offering and his drink offering. Now you will find this in verses 19, 22, 25, 28, 31, 34, and 38. Beside. Now God didn't want this offering confused with any others. It was the basis. It was the burnt offering, the all-inclusive offering. This offering, the feet, every part of this offering, it was cut up, of course, was burned on the altar. The only part of it that man received, the priest that offered it, received the skin. But the rest of the offering was burned before the Lord. And now, at this particular state or season, the Antichrist will talk the Jews into giving up that sacrifice. Now by this we know that they will have their sacrificial offering back again. Now in Thessalonians 2, it is said this, that the Antichrist sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, their sacrifices. Now when they do that, in my opinion, it will be the next great sign. They do not have the temple site in their possession. That is yet in the hands of the Mohammedans. But at this point, they will give this up. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, shall be 1,290 days. Now we know from Daniel 9:27 that abomination is going to be placed in the middle of the week. So from this we deduct that this puts us back 30 days before the middle of the week. Now, do you follow me thus far? All right. Then, yes, 30 days before the beginning of the week. Now, let's take this again. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, shall be 1,290 days. Get the 290. But we know that from the time the week begins, and the abomination is set up, is going to be 1,260 days, or 3.5 years. Now do you follow me? All right. Then we know from that, we deduct from this that 30 days before the beginning of the covenant will be made for 1 week. We'll stand by you. Whatever, what all it will involve, we do not know. So that brings us to this point where the abomination that maketh desolate is set up. Now Daniel, let's turn to Daniel 8 for just a minute. And notice the question in connection with this abomination. The 13th verse of Daniel 8. Then I heard one angel speaking, and another angel said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now, he's asking about this abomination. Notice he mentions the daily sacrifice. Notice it again. Concerning the daily sacrifice, which we saw would be taken away here, didn't we? All right. Now this period should run 2,520 days, which is 7,360-day year. But the angel tells Daniel it's just going to run from the daily sacrifice in connection with that until it's cleansed. It's going to just go 2,300 days. Now in Matthew 24, Jesus said, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Would you like to read that? Notice in Matthew 24, and we'll see. Now you'll find if you listen once in a while on the radio, there is a local preacher here that says this will be fulfilled in Revelation 9 or 8 when the sun won't sign for a third and then the night likewise. And he says that's the way it's going to be shortened. Well, it's those days, the days of the terrible judgment. Matthew 25, the 22nd verse. He mentioned the 21st verse, the Great Tribulation. Then he said, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. In the 31st verse, he mentions sending a trumpet, the angels, the great sound of a trumpet to gather his elect from the four winds of heaven. They will be scattered, and seemingly everybody will hate the Jew. For their sake, it's going to be shortened, a total. You see, we have 2,300 days. It doesn't begin here. It begins here. So it happens to be shortened 250 days. Now, do you follow me so far? If you don't, speak up. All right. Now, let's take another look. Now, I just stated that the Antichrist is going to reign 3.5 years. You take Revelation 13:5. Somebody read that. Power was given him to continue. Yes, go ahead. Here. This is the beginning of the week at H. Well, let's take it. I may have misstated myself too quick here. Let's say the 7 years will begin here. The Great Tribulation. Now, this whole period will be a tribulation. But the Great Tribulation will begin here in the middle of the week. I don't want to confuse your mind, but this will be the beginning of the 7 years. I remember Daniel 9:27. He shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, that's 7 years. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now, Jesus said to the church at Philadelphia, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from that hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try those that dwell on the earth. And we feel that that begins here. But the great tribulation begins here. That's our opinion. All right.
What is the A?
That's just a starting point. From A to the whichever where you want to stop. Where do you go to D?
Okay.
You go to A to D is 2,300 days. Or if you start, see we have two lines beginning there that 1,290 days are the 2,300 days. The 2,300 days goes clear through here to the end when the Antichrist is destroyed. The 290 days just come to the middle of the week. It's just that will be the very end of the Antichrist. Notice that in the 8th chapter, the 13th verse, then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of the desolation to be to give both the sanctuary, the holy place, of course, the temple, and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, how long is this going to continue? Now that's what he's asking. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed at the end of the 2,300 days. When the Antichrist is destroyed, of course, his image will be thrown out. And the temple will be cleansed at that point. That's where the daily sacrifice is taken away. Well, no, he will not. Well, we assume that it's a part of the covenant that is to be made. It is the principal offering of the Jews toward God. That's why I wanted you to see from all of this that we read in the Numbers and in Exodus and in the Leviticus that the burnt offering was the basic offering. And when they give that up, it will be surrendering to the Antichrist. And when they do, it'll be here that God will raise up the two witnesses. They prophesy to hear and then they're killed. But, well, before we go further, do you have anything else that isn't clear to you? We feel that he will take charge of things here. No, at the beginning of the week. Where the crown is where the overcomers are crowned. That's the beginning of the week. All right. Well, we can't dogmatically answer that. This, it seems to me, will be officially, the beginning of this covenant will be the official time when the Gentile times will be over. You know, in programs and such, there's a time when the curtain is pulled. And in a race, in a meet, there's a time when things come to an end. There's a time when the Jews were not rulers anymore. It was the times of the Gentiles. The moment Christ takes his throne, it seems to me that the times of the Gentiles, as far as God is concerned, will be over. But this won't be manifest on the earth, and the Gentiles are not going to give up that it's over. That's why all the fighting, just like the Jews fought hard to keep from surrendering to Nebuchadnezzar, though Jeremiah was telling them, it's all over with you. You don't submit, he'll destroy the city. Well, he did. But back to our chart, we believe that Christ will take his throne here. We believe that the Gentile times will be over here. And it won't, as I stated, it won't be manifest. But let's go back for just a moment. Well, do you have another question? Yes. I'm confident there will. That's another subject now. Not all of them. I'll say incidentally, that is another subject now. The 144,000 will go to heaven without dying. They'll go approximately here, at least part of them, some of them maybe. But there may be resurrected and translated saints in each group, but that's another subject. I would, if it's all right with everybody, I would a little rather not really get into the church tonight, because we need to get into the book of Revelation before we get into that subject. But I will go through the dates on the chart. But here will end the 2300 days at D, there's several D's here, and there will be 250 days which we'll dwell on later. But at the present time, what did we have in Revelation 13:5? You remember that first date in Daniel 7, they shall be given into his hands until time, times, and dividing their times, or 42 months. All right. Now it is established that the Antichrist is going to reign 3.5 years, isn't it? All right. It is also established by Daniel that this time is going to be shortened by 250 days, so what do? If this is the middle of the week, then we have to start the Antichrist reigning 250 days before the middle of the week. Does that soak in? All right. There will be, I'll mention this, it's not part of the lesson, there will be three great things take place right here at 250 days before the middle of the week. In Daniel 9, Daniel 8, when I think it is the third trumpet that sounded, he saw a star fall from heaven. Now our version doesn't bring out the tense of the verbs just right. But in Daniel, or in Revelation 9, 1, he says, I saw a star fallen from heaven. This is the same time as Revelation 12, where Satan is cast out of heaven. And that is Satan. He will be cast out at this point. The key will be given him to the bottomless pit. You remember about, I think, four times it speaks of the fact that the beast comes out of the bottomless pit. You remember that? In the 11th chapter of Revelation, we'll glance at that just a moment. I'll take this slowly so I can understand it. The 8th chapter of Revelation, or the 11th chapter of Revelation, says that the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, what verse is that? 7. The beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them. Notice briefly in the 17th chapter, the 8th verse says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. And then we read of it again in another place or two, but you see, you remember in Revelation 13, I can't keep turning to all these places, but you can, it is said that one of his heads was wounded to death and his deadly wound was healed. I kind of wondered if that'd be one of the two witnesses that killed him. But this will be the beast. He will go into the bottomless pit and God will allow Satan to bring him out. At the time the bottomless pit is opened in chapter 9, we feel that the Antichrist will ascend, the person that will become the Antichrist. The devil will be defeated and go down. He will be permitted to bring up the beast from the bottomless pit, and at this period, the man-child goes to heaven, remember? And the woman flees into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared. She has to go there too at the same time, because she'll have to be there 1,260 days. I think the man forgot to put a 6 there, and he's got 2 zeros. But 1,260 days. At this point, the devil is cast out. He brings the beast up, and the man-child goes to heaven, and the woman flees into the wilderness, all at that particular point. Are you following me? I don't believe so, and I'll tell you why. The woman flees into the wilderness here. This group that are told to flee, he said, when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. That takes place 250 days later, when the beast is manifested as the Antichrist. Now, I used to say that it was, used to think it was, but as I thought about it, we know when the beast begins to reign, and then and when the woman flees in the wilderness, she has to flee here because she has to be there the full length of time. But the abomination is placed here, so there is a difference. And then I spoke of the beast reigning. He begins his reign here 250 days before the middle of the week. Jerusalem will be trodden underfoot. The great tribulation begins here and will be brought to a consummation at D, or 250 days. When the beast is put down, now it will still be a great time of trouble. We can't quite visualize what it would be like if the head of every government in South America, Central America, Old Mexico, America, and Canada, and all the governors and every leader in the country would be killed at once. We can't imagine or visualize what it would be like. But that is what's going to happen. There will still be trouble, But the reasons that brought about the great tribulation, the beast demanding worship, no man being able to buy or sell without his mark, a strangulation on the economy, in other words, and the religious world, everybody, anybody that doesn't worship his image be killed, and then the terrible famine that we read of in the sixth chapter of Revelation, and the wars that have swept everywhere. It will still be an awful time of grief, but the Antichrist will be gone anyway, and will be in the lake of fire. Shortly, right after this, Jesus, I feel that it's Jesus, the mighty angel of Revelation 20, that puts the devil in the bottomless pit. Then things will begin to clear up. Well, there is one more date that is given in Daniel. Let's read it in the 12th chapter again. Now we read from the time the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, that's the 11th verse. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Now that reaches 75 days down into this period here. And Israel says, and I believe that's in Isaiah 24:26, lo, this is our God, and we have waited for him. And there will come a time when Jesus Christ will be revealed to Israel. Let's turn to Zechariah just a moment. This is getting ahead of the story a little bit. But in Zechariah, about the 12th chapter, now this is the revelation. He says in the 9th verse, it shall come to pass, and this is Zechariah 12, that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and a supplication. And the 11th verse says, in that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of hated Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. The land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. And then, of course, there's going to be a fountain opened in the house of David for sin and uncleanness in the 13th chapter in the first verse. And this is when the Lord will be revealed to Israel. Now, in Revelation 1, where it says, all the tribes of the earth shall mourn because of him, this word earth can equally be translated land. It may have reference to the land of Israel, but in the same connection, every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Now we can't quite imagine what this will be like. I was talking to our Orthodox Jew, and we talked to each other like we're about to cut each other's throats, and we told things as it was, and he said they were having a big meeting in New York City down in the park, and one of those, to them, goofball people that became claimed to be a Christian came out to pass out tracts among them, and he said we couldn't pick him up and bodily throw him out of the park, so we just, a whole string of us just took hands like this and just walked up to him and forced him out of the park. Well, at that moment, if Jesus Christ had appeared and they could have recognized him, can you imagine the literally bawling? Here we've been along all these years. We've taught our children. We've cursed the name of Christ. They have said the vilest things that can be said about the Virgin Mary. And a man said that a Jew could be a real reasonable man, but he said you mention the name of Christ to him, suddenly he becomes almost like a madman at times. He just seemed like a different personality. And somebody told of approaching a Jew and talking to him about Christ, and he said, well, if I would confess that, why, I'd have to admit that all of my people for generations have been wrong and they would all have gone to hell. Well, that's exactly what they will awaken to, and it's no marvel that there will be the great mourning. But it will be, we feel, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the end, and to use our language, 1,335 days, down here into the 250 days. And that will be his revelation to Israel. And they won't be converted by a great preaching of the gospel. They will be converted like Paul was converted by the personal appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be some saved among them, no doubt, under the ministry of the two witnesses, as in Revelation 11. And there may be lesser ministers. We can't say. We try to limit ourselves to the scriptures. Well, do you have another question you'd like to ask? Have I left you in the fog? Well, you can see that in studying the dates, they can make sense. It's when we read of the two witnesses, we learn they come in the early part. They do prophesy clear down to here. Read of the woman fleeing into the wilderness. She comes down in the latter part. The beast reigns. He's on the scene all the time, but he's with others. And after he's brought out of the bottomless pit, well, all the world will wonder after the beast, and the dragon will give him his seat and his power and great authority, and he will reign down to this point, the 250 days before the end, and then a millennial age. The word millennial, millennium, they do not occur in the Bible. They're just simply Latin for mill and annum, 1,000 years. And the word 1,000 years, those two words put together, occur 6 times in the book of Revelation. And incidentally, as far as the Bible is concerned, that's the only place where we have the area limited to that length of time, 1,000 years. We're told many places in Isaiah and elsewhere what will take place in it, but only there is it limited. And then, as far as we know, what we call eternity. You know, John starts his first book with going off the other end. In the beginning was the Word. And then when he gets through with Revelation, well, he takes us off in eternity on the other end of time. Jesus is called the first fruits of them that slept in Corinthians 15. This means definitely that he was the beginning of the first resurrection. Now, right after his resurrection, there was another company came from the graves. Then, over a period of time, for example, the two witnesses will be raised from the dead here in the middle of the week, and that's a resurrection. In the 6th chapter of Revelation, I sounded the order of the souls of those that were beheaded for their witness, and it was said to them that they should rest yet for a little season. And then those in the 15th chapter of Revelation are evidently resurrected, because it is said they get the victory over the beast and over his name and over his number. I'm not quoting it exactly. They have to be here during the time of the Antichrist, or they couldn't get that victory. And at that period, now my opinion is, and I think I'm right, the 144,000 will be the last company to go to heaven by translation. There comes a time when that door is closed, and anybody else that's saved after that will be earth dwellers, unless, of course, as these that I mentioned are martyred, if God raises them from the dead, they will have glorified or immortal bodies. And I personally do not see a mingling of mortals and immortal. You're immortal and I'm mortal. Well, you're immortal, you don't have to go to bed. You don't have to have a car. You don't have to have a door. You just go through the wall, the way Jesus did. You don't have to eat. I'm mortal. I have to go home. I have to go to bed. I have to get up and eat in the morning. I have to drink. You don't. You're immortal. I don't see any mingling. I see the immortal in a place that is suited to immortality, and the mortal on the earth as suited to a place of their mortal condition. Now, those of the 15th chapter seem to be Jewish, and it said to them, that they sing the songs of Moses, sing the song of the Lamb and of Moses. Most Gentiles, even the Christians, don't know what the song of Moses is, and I don't know whether I do. I don't know what they refer to specifically, because there are 3 songs that Moses is associated with. And one is in Exodus, one in Deuteronomy, and one the 90th Psalm. Anyway, they will be martyred. I feel they will. Now notice this in the Revelation, I believe in the 20th chapter, another company. The 4th verse, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast. Now you see, here is a group that will be killed under the reign of Antichrist, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now notice the 5th verse. Well, let's go back. Well, we will read the 5th verse. The rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now these that are martyred under the beast will seemingly be the consummation of the resurrection at that time. And the resurrection, well, I grew up on the farm. I grew up in Oklahoma. We planted our potatoes in February. A little later, sometimes in February or March, usually in March, we planted corn. And later we planted cotton and what we call feedstuff, that is food we raise for the livestock. We plant that later. But it was all one crop. Well, the resurrection is one resurrection, but there will be a lot of different companies in that resurrection. So it will cover a period of time. Then the rest of the dead live not again. I just read to you until the 1,000 years are finished. We come way down here, Revelation 20, to the great white throne judgment. That's an element of time. All right, anything else?